Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shirtley, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, and your calls, 617-779-7937. You can also listen to us on that sweet Odyssey app that works very well. Just hop on there, and you can press that microphone button. Leave your message there. We play it later on in the show. Launch us a take grenade. And we are broadcasting live this afternoon from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball and that dirty water. And despite there being this huge streak that just ended and Patriots camp starting today, oh, let's talk about the turd in the punch bowl, the chaos in the streets, the pee in your cornflakes. Ladies and gentlemen, LeBron has picked a team, and I always root for chaos, and today I am a very happy boy. Stiz, let's see what happened with some sports, shall we?
What just happened?
Sports happened.
Oh, yes. And by the way, we will take your calls on this, because I have a feeling there's some people who may want to say something. 617-779-7937, and Sports Happen is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman, Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. Brad Stevens, you may have accidentally created a monster. After weeks of LeBron trying to get a team to reunite him with his buddies Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis, and every team basically tell him to go screw, now we're good, LeBron has chosen a team. Actually, it's not a team. It's one of them old-fashioned super teams teaming up with our old buddy Jaylen Brown, joining the Sixers for absolutely nothing. 2 years, $8 million. This is a dude that made $53 million from the Lakers last year. Stiz, say it with me. Ring chaser, baby. Ring chaser! You will never get that stigma off of you. LeBron announced it with a post to his social media that read, quote, "I thought I was done when the season ended. I wasn't ready to announce it and knew I needed some time to really decide." No, you needed time to go try to get people to trade Kyrie Irving for peanuts and to get rid of James Harden for the Cavs. But everyone said no to you. But I digress. He said, "But I'm pretty sure I played my last game. I was pretty sure I played my last game. I was honest at that last press conference when I said I needed to look at myself and decide if I still love this game. I still truly love this game, and I have more to give." The last few, we need some like almost like Forrest Gump music or something in the background. Ted, aren't you hearing it in the background? Like this, like really dramatic music. Like he sat there and you know he like probably wrote this down like on a quill pen and then crumpled it up and threw it in the corner 15 times.
Dude, I couldn't believe it. The guy's going into his 24th year and he's got this long soliloquy about you know the, you know playing for the Sixers at minimum wage. For 2 years, it's just a weird to me statement to make considering the context of just his career and everything.
Yeah, it's really strange. He continues, "The last few weeks have really been special. I've never been able to have no clue what to do and to take real time just to think. No, to have time for people to tell you no." He said, "I've had an incredible few months with all the people I love, trying to figure it all out. This is my last decision. I'm not going for money." No, you don't say. "I'm not going for family." I guess that means Bronny ain't going. What am I really playing for at this point? I still want to sacrifice. I still want to work. I still want to grind. I still want to compete to win and have a chance at the feeling of winning another championship. I believe I can help make the Philadelphia 76ers a championship team, and I am so excited to energize a new fan base and start this incredible journey one last time. Wow. Thank you, L.A., Miami. I'll forever love Northeast Ohio, and you will always be my home. Oh, my God. It's just somebody. Give this guy all the accolades. He really did it the right way this time, didn't he? And what makes this so great is that LeBron is now going to be playing with a guy who went viral for calling his son Bronny trash when the cameras caught Jalen at Summer League saying, "I don't think Bronny is a pro." Now, in fairness, Stiz, LeBron did address that comment. Do you have that clip?
He's taking that next step. You know, our relationship has been, you know, pretty respectful. You know, besides what he said about Bronny at Summer League, but other than that,
you guys were able
to other than that, you know, we've been all right, you know.
Were you guys able to get past that?
You know, we'll be all right. Yeah, we'll be all right. I think he went on social media and said something about it. It's all good, but Bronny got a long way to go, but that's another story, so.
Yeah, listen, Ken and Ted, I'm not going to once again say I was right. You guys can if you want, but I'm not going to say that. I mean, I'm kind of waiting for you to say I was right.
Well, I'll give you full credit, Rich. I did not expect him to choose Philadelphia, not in a million years. And now that he's made the decision, I mean, it makes a lot of sense because they by far have the best chance to win of these other teams he was considering, Miami, Cleveland, and Golden State. It's also ballsy for him. It's a market he doesn't know, and I think it will. If he wins there, help his legacy. I think they have a great chance to do so. They're obviously shooting up the odds favorites right now, well ahead of the Celtics. The Celtics are a distant third, and even more so, Rich, from just a local point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Why, again, was the rush to trade Jaylen Brown? Because all you had to do was hold off, deal him at the trade deadline, and LeBron goes somewhere else, right? LeBron's not going to Philly if JB is not there, yes?
Yeah, oh, totally. Well, that's apparently the report now, is that, I mean, I honestly think all of this is BS that's coming out, and they're trying to make it sound like LeBron the entire time wanted to go to the Sixers, when we've heard reports that, no, he was trying to recruit his buddies to either go to Golden State or to go to Cleveland. The Sixers just happened to be the one that could fit him in. And to be quite honest, I agree with you. I think it's definitely a good chance to win. It might not be his best. Miami would have, I think, could have been just as good. But I've been saying this about LeBron. The whole reason he's choosing a team this time around is to try to cement his legacy and build the best possible argument to be the greatest of all time. And for that, in his mind, I thought the best way to do that would be he would go to Philly because he could say, I went to four different teams and won a championship at every single one. So that's obviously that sounds better than, you know, three different cities, you know, championships in each and the amount of them. Like that's a big deal, especially a snake bitten franchise like the 76ers. You know, obviously he would be loved there, but my God, you're right. The Sixers have jumped ahead of the Celtics in odds to win a championship. You said the Celtics were third in the East. Yeah. Things must have moved since I looked at it because it was the Knicks. So it went. Oh, yeah, you're right. It was. It was Thunder and Spurs and Knicks in that order. Mm-hmm. And then it goes Sixers and then the Celtics after that.
Yeah, so it depends which site you're looking at. I mean, I think it's definitely going to be right now on Kalshi. I think the Sixers have probably passed just because it's more public driven, right? So it's the reaction is like, oh, man, I'm betting on Philly today. When it push comes to shove, I do think the Knicks will have a chance to take them out. Because there will be some dysfunction, Ted. I definitely see that. However, in a postseason series, which is the better roster? I would take Phillies right now over New York.
On paper, for sure. Absolutely. And I'll say this. I think there's just as much downside to his legacy as there is maybe upside. And I don't get down with the legacy thing as much as you guys do when it comes to this. Because, you know, he would win if he was to win in Philly, that'd be four different places he's won, but he's chased rings every single time.
Absolutely.
You know, where you had, you know, Michael Jordan stayed one place and won six. You know, Kobe Bryant stayed in one place and won five. Michael Jordan played 15 years. LeBron's played 23 and still two behind Jordan. I just don't think, I think there's a risk if this thing blows up. If they, you know, why I have a feeling they'll cruise through the regular season. You know, if they're all healthy and playing a lot, they'll win a lot of games. And I can see this thing just getting blown up in a second round, and then that to me is going to be damaging to LeBron's legacy. And so I think there's a risk from a negative impact as well, Rich. I don't think it's just all upside for LeBron.
Well, Ted, you know, what is that thing I've been hearing is that LeBron found super teams. Michael Jordan made teams super.
Like there you go.
I think that is a matter of fact. That's one thing that Charles Barkley came out and said. And Charles Barkley also isn't one of those guys who's like the old guard's always better than the new guard. He's been very fair, but he said I got to take something away from LeBron because the guy's always on stacked teams. he gets these stacked teams all around him, and of course he's going to win. I'll give him a little, not a little bit of credit. I'll give him credit for when he went to Cleveland a little bit more, because that, you remember how
he like, still brought his guys though. He still brought a couple. They were role players, but he brought guys with him though.
He did, but there was that one championship run, or was the championship the year that they won? Weren't a bunch of those players hurt? Or was it the year they went to the finals and lost, where all of those guys were hurt? Oh yeah, I think it was. They went to the finals and he had like a ton of guys around him hurt. He was the heart of that team, and obviously Kyrie Irving is a massive reason he won that ring there when he was with Cleveland. But yeah, you know, you're right. You're right. It's mostly stacked teams, and I don't think you're going to be able to look at, because if this is his last year or his last 2 years, I don't think there's anything he can do with the Sixers that will make you look at him and go, he was better than Jordan. I just don't think with this lineup.
So what do you think? You reference his legacy. This is he's going to for his legacy. Like who do you? Who's he? Like what is that legacy? What do you? Can you encapsulate exactly what his legacy would mean if he was to win it? Like he's because I just figured it was like, well, now he's indisputably better than Jordan or better than Kobe, and there's no argument. Like how would you kind of encapsulate his legacy if he was to go win one?
I would say great for the longest. Like he was a player that remained great for the longest amount of time, which is
Kobe
which
played
is very
20
impressive. Yeah.
And Jordan played 15 and LeBron's played 23. So yeah, okay.
And somehow Rich, this makes LeBron more likable to me going to Philly, which I never would have said. I mean, I hate everything Philadelphia sports related, but I respect him more for this in some weird way and I don't know why.
Can I guess?
Yeah, why?
That's interesting. Is it because it's like it's a city, like, he's not going to L.A. I mean, he was in L.A., but Miami, where this weather, it's like
it's like
not
he
bougie.
Does
he, it's like he really wants to.
He wants to grind.
Yeah.
I mean, but it is kind of a super team, though, no?
It is.
It's definitely a super team.
I mean, that starting lineup is just utterly ridiculous. It's going to be Tyrese Maxey, Jaylen Brown, Joel Embiid, VJ Edgecombe, and LeBron James. Just on paper, it's insane. Is there enough ball for all of them? I don't know.
No,
but
hell no.
It's going to be wild to watch.
But think about it. So he won his championships in Miami, in Cleveland, in L.A. Soft. Like markets. He's actually going to an edgy, gritty, grimy, where it's, you know, it's life or death sports.
You might get robbed.
I give Cleveland respect. You don't give Cleveland respect?
Not for like having like intense media scrutiny and fan scrutiny like it is in Boston, New York, and Philly.
All right. That's Josh McDaniels country. That's Vrabel country.
But here's the thing that should scare you as a Celtics fan. Obviously, the Sixers are a great team. But I've been saying this for a while when the LeBron hunt was going on when he was trying to figure it all out. I thought that the team as it was, the Sixers, had such high potential to implode. You had three guys who all thought they were the alpha. You had Joel Embiid, you had Tyrese Maxey, and you had Jaylen Brown, who's got a thing to prove. And I just thought that that could be combustible. Because, you know, Joel Embiid has acted like a toddler before. We've seen that. Jaylen Brown obviously can be an emotional infant as well. We've seen the stuff he did, like, you know, on Twitch. But now that LeBron is there, there's no question who the alpha is. There's no question who talks in the locker room, everybody's listening to. And
there is a question who the alpha on the court is. Like, who's the number one option? It's not it's not 41-year-old LeBron.
But
it's
I think
not
that
Embiid,
LeBron,
I don't think, because he's hurt too much. It's probably Maxey 1, and then maybe Jaylen 2. I mean, honestly.
I think LeBron is going to be the one that decides that. He's going to be the one that decides. I'm telling you,
he's the coach.
He's the coach now.
Yeah,
he's
the coach. Well, that's fine. He's the player coach. He's like Bill Russell toward the end, that 1 year where he was player coach.
Yeah, I don't know how much power he yields anymore. I mean, if he had so much power, would he still be in L.A.? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like used to be the case. I mean, he was the one calling plays out of timeouts in Cleveland and maybe even a little bit in Miami, and that's him and Spo got into it a little bit, but I think that's a little bit overrated, his impact like that. I just don't think he's all of a sudden the calming voice in where you have all these outlaws underneath him and everybody's just going to look up to him and be like, whatever you say, LeBron. I don't feel that's the case. I don't think it's going to be From a chemistry standpoint, as good as you're portraying it.
I hope you're right, because I would love to see Jaylen Brown thinking he could get in the face of LeBron James. Like, I would love that. Please.
Will he come on a stream? He might.
What do you think? What do you think he is thinking right now? What is Jaylen Brown? Is he excited?
He texted. He said, "Throw the ball up." A quick hashtag. Throw the ball up. He's excited.
Dude, you know, just
he recently
pissed.
Just tweeted
yeah,
that.
Yeah, a couple hours ago.
You know he's pissed. He's not the story anymore.
No, like, he's not.
He wants.
He's going to win a title and rub it in the Celtics' face. What are you talking about?
No, he's. First of all, I don't think that they're going to win a title. I think that it's too chaotic. There's too many. I don't know how you can figure this out. They're wildly talented, but we have seen teams that have had so many great players that it just did not work. Do you guys remember
more times than not?
Yeah, the Dwight Howard, Kobe Bryant, Steve Nash Lakers. Imploded. Yeah. It was awful. You can sometimes get a ton of talent, and they just don't know how to make it work. Mm-hmm. So they're a very good team. As a matter of fact, I think that they're better than the Celtics easily. I think that those two together in a series, the Sixers are winning it. And I can't believe I'm saying that, because I didn't think so beforehand. But LeBron is, I believe, is the calming presence that they needed, the veteran in the room. Unfortunately, and that sucks. And and when we get back, we'll not only take your calls, we got to talk about what this means for Brad Stevens. Like, Brad Stevens, you want to talk about someone who's nervous as hell right now. If this thing happens, if they win a championship, dude, they're going to come after him with pitchforks in this town. But we will talk about that right after this. Take your calls as well, 617-779-7937. We'll be back in two, not going anywhere. Right.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with your calls.
Rich Shurtleave, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Trouble about Jason.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's got a super team. You know what I mean? Like, if I had a super team too, I would win too. You know?
I tell him the same thing. Like,
well, you got a super team now, coach.
If I go 5-for-20, like, we get blown out.
H to the OV. I used to. Oh, Joel Embiid, you got a super team now. Pressure's on.
Hey, Stiff, when was that audio? Do you know?
That was about a year ago.
About a year ago. He was saying if he had a super team, he'd win too. All right.
No excuses now, Joel.
That's it, brother.
You got to play a few more games than you're used to if you want to make that work there, Joel. 617-779-7937. It is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson. And on 93.7 WEEI. I want to play this real quick before we take some calls. And we see your calls there. Thank you. But this is WIP, our sister station in Philadelphia, breaking the news. Because let's all admit, this was a shock. I mean, we all knew that was...
You got something right. It was a Rich prediction that came true. It's almost as shocking as a texter points out that you're wearing a white shirt today. It's like...
Yes, absolutely. And by the way, please don't mind the armpit sweat. I'm already regretting wearing this shirt. That's why I wear dark shirts, man. I got a little bit of the boot sweats. All right, so let's play this. This is WIP... Who, if I'm working at that station, I hear this too, I don't even know how I'd react, but let's hear how they reacted when they got the news live. Let's go.
Well, we've been waiting for, 20-something days now, and it is official, according to Shams. LeBron James has chosen his next team, and he is signing with the Philadelphia 76ers on a two-year, $8 million deal with a player option. LeBron James is coming to the Philadelphia 76ers. Holy crap.
Do you know how hard it is going to be to get tickets to the games now?
Well,
he's right.
That's the least thing. I mean, God, they're going to win a title for the first time in, what is it, 50 years?
Yeah, they're not winning a title.
They are going to win a title. Are you kidding?
The regular season title. They'll, you know, if they're all healthy and they play a lot in the regular season, they'll win a lot of games.
But the tournament. They'll win the midseason tournament. That's what they'll win.
Yeah. I mean,
you have.
And there's teams that have a lot of talent that aren't really teams. And there's teams that don't have as much talent but are really good teams.
I get that, but this team has four players that need a super team to win. LeBron at this age needs one to win. Jaylen Brown, we saw this year, he couldn't do it himself. Obviously, Embiid doesn't play enough that he can get it done. And, you know, I think Maxey's pretty good, but he this supporting cast, he's going to roll with this team.
Yeah. Hey guys, quickly, that for whatever reason, my computer cut that off halfway. Can I play the final half for you real quick?
Yeah. No, of course. Hell yeah. Let's hear it.
Do you know how hard it is going to be to get tickets to the games now? This is bananas. Every night is going to be like a movie.
And I think this is one of the greatest days in Philadelphia sports history. He chose the Sixers. There aren't many days like this in the history of Philadelphia sports where players of this caliber choose to come here. Terrence in Springfield reacting with us. Terrence, good morning.
We got LeBron!
We got LeBron.
They got him!
Okay. I mean, how can you not be that? I can see him being like that, man.
If he had come here, it would be the same reaction.
This is going to go, this super team, like the Philadelphia Eagles, when they put their super team together. Didn't they have a super team they put together that blew up pretty good?
Did you do a Not Today, Donovan? Or what was
Not Today, Donovan. That's right. Super teams, they look good on paper. That's all I'm saying, Rich, is that, but they, a lot of times, they don't work out.
I couldn't agree with you more. I actually, like, during the break, was trying to rack my brain on super teams that have looked so good and then completely collapsed. And I've got, like, a list of them here. But before we get to that, let's go to AJ in Framingham on line one. AJ, what is going on, my man?
Man, LeBron is a Sixer, okay? Let me just explain something to you. If the Celtics have a year that we have targets on our back, on people's back to go after. JT, there should be a fire burning under Tatum. And let me tell you why. The Knicks, we have the Sixers, and then we go back to the finals and we, bro, I'm telling you, if there's one year that Tatum can prove that he's an MVP caliber player, it is this year. Everything is set. The stage is set for him to show who he is. And second of all, I have to say, let's look at the Brooklyn Nets. Okay, let's take a step back. You know, on paper, a lot of teams look good. Let's see how this team looks.
Yep. Yep. You know what? The Brooklyn Nets are one of the teams. Great call,
with
by the way.
KD.
Yeah, the one with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden. Bust.
That's right. That's a great comp.
Yep, swept in round one in the 21-22 season. I mentioned the Los Angeles Lakers that had Kobe Bryant, Dwight Howard, and Steve Nash. Paul Gasol, Meta World Peace. Dude, that is a super team. Swept in the first round when they first got together. You can take a look at
Let's look at Tatum's supporting cast. It's Ugo, Ron Harper Jr., and whoever else Brad thinks likes Tatum enough to make the starting five.
It's true. Yeah, and AJ was right, though. That's the perfect recipe to shine in the MVP voting. Like, because when it looks like you're the guy and you kind of stand alone on a team and there's not, like, a bunch of megastars around you, that's when people notice how well your team is playing. Mm-hmm. So he's right about the MVP thing, but who gives a rat's ass about MVP
if they don't
go far in the playoffs?
Don't discredit Peyton Pritchard and Derek White. They're, you know, nobody is giving Peyton Pritchard any real...
He's the next Brunson, I think.
Dude, he's... Okay, settle down, all right? I'm not going that far. When I bring up Peyton Pritchard, am I going to get Brunson thrown in my face every time?
Pretty much.
I'm just telling you, the kid is better than you think, and he's going to make up for the JB loss more than people realize, but he's not Brunson, okay? Let's not get carried away.
I mean, he's basically... That equals... They got Anfernee Simons on the Sixers bench. Your sixth man is good. Their sixth man is good. Fine. But when you compare these starting fives and you got Paul George, I mean, Tatum is great, but he does not have the supporting cast. And it's not going to be Tatum's fault if they lose this year, right? I mean, it would be a miracle if they do win.
But to the caller's point, I do feel there's a great opportunity for Tatum to kind of, I don't know, put his stamp on. I know he's coming off of an injury, but JB's gone. The East feels more loaded than it's ever been. You basically, you know, maybe got rid of the guy you've always wanted to get rid of. Now it's your team. So what can you do now with that? I think this is an opportunity for JT to kind of just, you know, actually take this next step.
They've lowered expectations. You're right about that.
When's the best MVP season he's ever had? Has he ever been in the top three of MVP votes ever?
Tatum?
Yeah.
Probably 2 years ago.
I'm not sure. So this is a time for him to do that, because the East is actually, if you remember this time last year, the East looked like it sucked. Mm-hmm. Not now.
No, not
you know
now.
You know what this feels like? Do you guys remember when the Red Sox got Carl Crawford and Adrian Gonzalez, and the Boston Herald had that famous front cover that said "Greatest Team Ever"?
Greatest team ever. Yeah.
Aren't you feeling that a little bit with these Sixers?
I think they actually might be the greatest team the Phillies ever assembled.
All right.
It might be. It might be.
It could be. Listen, for Philly, absolutely. And I don't blame them for freaking out because there's at least – first of all, the games are going to be amazing to watch. And yeah. And we'll get a little bit more into what this means for the Celtics if the Sixers do well. Because
I think it's the most compelling team to watch. It really is.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more, Ted. I couldn't agree more. And as a Celtics fan, seeing how Jaylen Brown fits in all of this, Oh, this is going to be good. It's going to be the East is going to be amazing this year. It really
is. Tatum was fourth place to the MVP twice, 2024-25 and also 2022-23. So okay, never higher than fourth.
It's time to get going here,
top
JT.
Two.
Let's go. Let's
okay,
go.
Yep. Let's do it.
Absolutely. All right, 617-779-7937. Let's take a break from LeBron because camp started today down there at Gillette Stadium, and a couple surprises. Christian Gonzalez. Man, it looks like maybe, just maybe, there's some hope on the horizon that this guy might be sticking around and the Patriots aren't going to cheap out. I'll get Ted your thoughts on that. Want to see what you thought of how everything went today. And we'll take your calls as well. 617-779-7937. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah. Is this Black Eyed Blonde by the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Get Up and Jump.
Oh, Get Up and Jump. That's right. That's right.
But I know your rule. Can only be the first album.
Get Up and Jump.
Sounds like Living in America by James Brown.
Oh, it does a little bit. No, this is when the Chili Peppers are the best.
That's only because he's not singing, according to you.
Right, he's rapping. That was my rule. It's like the only album where he sang and sang well was Blood Sugar Sex Magik. After that, it was all downhill. But the early Chili Pepper stuff, there was a time where I thought they were the greatest band on the planet. Oh, my God. You go back and get Mother's Milk, and that will rip the hair off your testicles. It's so good. Man, I now I'm going to – okay, now I'm all in on that. After the show, that's going to – let's do it all weekend. All right, it is Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson here on 93.7 WEEI. We are in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay what we pay, Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball in that dirty water as we wait for – streak number two to start this evening, which should be fantastic. But meanwhile, Patriots camp started today. I love it. Absolutely love this time of year. It's the beginning of, what, about like 6 months of just the best drama in sports when you have one of the better teams in the league, although apparently most people who are the pontificators don't think that the Patriots are as good as we all do. But one big question going into this season is whether or not Christian Gonzalez was going to hold out as he waited for his contract extension. That was one of the first questions Mike Vrabel answered.
Mike, where do things stand with Christian Gonzalez, and do you expect him to be here and a full participant tomorrow?
I would expect him to be here. He is here, and I would expect him to participate. And so, you know, those contract negotiations are ongoing between the club and his agents, and you know, I'm excited about having Christian back here with us and the impact that he can make on our football team and really enjoy the person, enjoy the player. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
Dude, Teddy J, did you think he was going to arrive today? Do you think he was going to be – and he participated as well. I guess he's not holding out.
Yeah, he's not going to hold out because he'll get fined. And they renegotiated the CBA that if you hold out and you cannot forgive those fines, you have to pay those fines. So guys have hold ins. They come and they go out like they're going to go practice, and then they just stand on the sideline or do, you know, calisthenics while the team is out there practicing. And that is like it's holding in, but it's really or holding out, but it's really holding in. And so there's no surprise he's here. It's just in what capacity. How much does he participate when practice starts tomorrow? Is he a full go, or is he, you know, is it just minimal work?
Some dry swings, maybe some plyo ball.
Right. You never know. You know what? I would be. I mean, I go back and forth on this. I mean, I don't. When I see him at the Celtics game doing the money sign, I'm thinking, okay, this is on. It's been on his mind for a long time. Is getting this big payday. Like, so he's not gonna you know risk it, but. I mean, guys that have been in his situation in the past, there's not a lot of guys that have had hold-ins. They usually practice to some degree, and they do it in good faith, especially if you feel like negotiations are behind the scenes. We don't know what they are, but if he knows. If they're moving in a positive direction, I can see him getting out there and practicing and participating more than maybe we think in good faith, and I think he respects Vrabel. I don't think this is going to be like a – like it was with Jerod Mayo and the old edge rusher. Why can't I think of his name? But where there was, it was tense, and it was, you could visually see there being issues. I think it's going to be cordial, and I think he'll practice. And he might not do 100%.
Matthew Judon.
That was not a good scene. I just don't think Gonzalez is going to take advantage of Vrabel like that and trying to embarrass him. So I think he'll participate, maybe not to 100%, but more than maybe people realize.
So there was a report that came out, I think it was Ian Rappaport earlier this week, who was saying that the reason the Christian Gonzalez negotiations are being held up is because he shares the same agent with Witherspoon over there with the Seahawks, and they're waiting for that contract to be extended first. And Mike Vrabel was asked about that, so let's hear what he had to say.
Eligibility to be able to sign a new contract. Are you waiting on things that are outside of your control, i.e., the Devin Witherspoon's waiting for a contract in Seattle?
No, I don't think those things, and again, I don't think they have anything to do with one another. We're not negotiating with the Seahawks. We're negotiating with Christian's representatives. And, you know, I don't think that there's anything different than just our communication with them.
That was a stall pause lie answer to me. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
They have to be intertwined, right?
Well, what is it? Why does it have to be the Seahawks that go make the deal with Witherspoon before the Patriots make it with Gonzalez?
Well, I think from Gonzalez's point of view, he thinks he's a better player, so he wants to see what Witherspoon gets and then ask for a dollar more at least, you know. Or
I just feel like that's the Patriots' MO. They don't want to be the first ones to set the market. They want to see what other people are doing before they make their first.
Well, if Gonzalez said, I'll sign for $30 million a year, they probably would agree to
it,
right?
Well, that's fair. Yes, but, which but he's not
that,
going to.
But isn't that a dumb way to think, though? Like, okay, I don't want to be first, but whoever's first is going to be paying less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the Patriots want to be first.
But yeah, you would think they want to be first, right? Well, yeah, but I don't know why the Patriots would want to wait. Just get it done. Go ahead and be first, Ted. You're right. I mean, I think that if I was the Patriots, I would try to do it because no matter what you give Gonzalez, then the other guy, Witherspoon, would want more than that, and that's what Christian Gonzalez is waiting for. So yeah, try to figure it out, man. You know, whatever you do, the second person's going to get more money. That's almost a certainty. So be the first one.
This team needs him, you know, happy, signed. And I mean, you saw he missed a couple games to start the season and how that looked. I mean, they lose to the Raiders out of the gate. So they need him, as much as possible to be, you know, all in, all for camp so that they're ready to go when the season starts.
Yeah, no question. And another person that they were counting on being ready to go when the season starts was, of course, rookie Gabe Backus. And there's been – this whole thing was completely botched. And I believe – most of the burden is on the Patriots to being able to get the – I don't know. Because they're trying to cover their ass now, trying to say that after they drafted him, there was some sort of injury that occurred after that they were not aware of, and that's what's keeping him from being there because they want to put something in his contract to protect themselves. And to me, it sounds like you knew this guy – not it sounds like you knew this guy – didn't play in the bowl beforehand. He had issues with his leg already. Going into it, he had a track record of injuries. So
he sat out for the combine because of the injury.
Yes, exactly, Ted. So don't sit here and go, oh, I had no idea. I mean, all of us knew. Everybody knew. Like, I mean, it was like at the draft, they talked about it. So you took a risk. Obviously, you got bit in the ass. So you don't win every risk. But should you have taken a risk with a pick that high? You moved up. Like, you traded up to get this guy, and now you're sitting there not knowing if he's going to be there, and Mike Vrabel ended up being asked about it, and here's what he had to say about Gabe not being there today.
Can you tell us if Gabe Backus has reported and kind of give us an update on where things stand with him?
Well, continuing to work through the contract, I think that those have been positive, obviously, between the club and his representative, and, hopefully... You know, we'll get him in here sooner rather than later. I'm not going to put a timeline on it or a time frame, but spoken to Gabe personally, and again excited to get him in when he's under contract.
Do you have any sense of where he's at physically, based on that?
I mean, I can only go by what he says. And so when he gets here, we'll evaluate that. Of course, be as smart as we can and as possible just to see, because we haven't seen him with us. But I would say that, use the word cautiously optimistic, but again, those conversations have been great, and excited to see where he's at.
What's the issue? I mean, he's the last positional player to sign. These deals aren't complicated. There's guaranteed money, you know, laid out in the slot before him, the slot after him. Are you guys balking on guaranteeing some of the money? Like, what?
Again, these are not contractual issues that come up. And, you know, you laid out a lot of, you know, things that occur throughout those rookie contracts. But, you know, every contract is unique. Every contract is different. And it'll get resolved. I'm positive that it will.
I'm positive. I mean, he was more optimistic, and I was trying to, you know, hear a hint in his voice that maybe he's, you know, lying through his teeth, but I didn't get that sense. I mean, it feels like they, you know, that they're.
But it's already gone. He's a rookie, right? I mean, Ted, when you were a rookie, yeah. If you missed all of, you know, mini camp, and you're going to commit.
Training camp's more important than missing OTAs.
But he's not there tomorrow, right? Yeah. I mean, there's no way he's going to contribute this year, not in a meaningful way.
Oh yeah. Oh, are you kidding me? Yeah. Oh, it's not too late yet. No. I mean, if this was the last week of training camp, you know, at the end of August, you give me in a month. Then yeah, okay. Then they're in trouble. But I mean, sorry, it's not like I always tell this to D linemen. Sorry, I mean the you don't have to be the smartest guy to play D line or outside linebacker. It's like Roy, Lou, you know, Lee, and you go or you don't. Like, so it's not like he's got a ton mentally that he's got to you know, kind of worry about. So talk to me in 2 weeks. But right now, no, it's still fine. If he gets in, he'll be fine. And I think they saw this guy. I mean, to trade up for him in the second round. They look at him as a potential starter on this team. So to get him in, I think they need him because that clearly was an issue of concern, their edge rushing last year.
Rich, if you want a happy August drinking game, every time Vrabel mentions Elijah Ponder and Brady Swinson over the next 4 weeks and talks those guys up.
They're overhyping Elijah Ponder.
Oh, my God.
Settle down, undrafted. I know he's a try-hard guy, but let's not get carried away, man.
Real quick, Ken, what was the doomsday scenario you were telling me about yesterday regarding Gabe Backus, where there's a situation where he could end up going back into the draft, but the Patriots would be left empty-handed?
Right. Now, I mean, I think Vrabel is maybe more positive about that. They'll come to some kind of deal to prevent that from happening, at least to give him a true redshirt year where you just pay him to do nothing. But, yeah, if he doesn't sign a contract, then, yeah, he's going to go back in the draft.
For the fact that he's not signed, it's really both sides are responsible for this not getting done. It's not just all the Patriots or just Gabe Backus. It's honestly, I think the players probably in a little bit more hardball than maybe most rookies would, and the Patriots are kind of trying to cover their ass. So it's both sides. I think they're equally responsible for this thing not getting done.
Is the Wynn Sports Group, because that's who it looks like his agent is, are they reputable? Oh, yeah, they got big names. Okay, I wanted to make sure this wasn't just like some huckster who is like, you know, like his uncle who's representing him and screwing up this entire thing. But no, this Wynn Sports Group is Joe Burrow's one and Nick Bosa. So, yeah, it's they obviously know what they're doing, but what a cluster F. And I honestly think that the Patriots take the majority of the blame in this, at least from everything I see, because you knew the guy was injured. All right. 617-779-7937. We know a little bit more about how much Jaylen Brown had to do with the recruiting of LeBron James to the 76ers. Man, I'm telling you, there is a scenario where Celtics fans might be burning their jerseys by the end of the season. I mean, this is real. I mean, if I don't think it's going to happen. I don't. I think the Celtics are going to be better than most people are saying. However, you're not going to like the news I'm going to give you when we get back regarding Jaylen Brown and LeBron. We'll get to that right after.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, and Ted Johnson. And so we all know by now LeBron James is going to the Sixers. And I mean, there's too many funny things that are coming out about all of this. I mean,
a lot of memes.
Well, a ton of memes, obviously. But I think the funniest thing that has come out so far is Stiz found this, and somebody found the usage rates for what will potentially be the starting five. Now, if you don't know what a usage rate is, it basically is like what percentage they finish the play. Okay, so like if they have a 20% usage, that means that about one out of every five team possessions they finished it. Okay, so they're basically the guy who makes the play. Over 25%, you are considered the primary scoring option. Like, that is, like, it's high. If you're over 25%, that's very high. It means you're the guy. It's usually a team where there's, like, four knuckleheads and one superstar. That person has over 25%. So somebody found the usage rates of the starting five. And how about this? LeBron, 27%. Maxey, 29%. Edgecombe, 19%, Brown, 35%, and Embiid, 32%, for a total of 142%. Who is going to get the ball? Like, it's like, how they're going to figure out who takes the last shot, where everything. I mean, it's just, there's not enough ball for these guys. It's truly, I bet if you went through the entire NBA starting roster and found the usage rates, this has got to be by far the highest. Now, the only thing I think that you can sit down and take a look at and go, this might be all right, is that, you know, LeBron is going to call the shots. And if LeBron wants the ball at the end, he's going to be the guy. So I unfortunately, that's the thing that kind of sucks about all this if you're a Celtics fan, is I do think LeBron is very good for them. But a lot of people now are looking at Brad Stevens and saying, Brad, if you getting rid of Jaylen Brown is the reason that LeBron James is now with the Sixers, you would be right. Because according to reports, LeBron James, the Sixers weren't even on his radar until they ended up getting Jaylen Brown. And after that, that's when it became a serious consideration. So if this all goes to hell and the Sixers somehow end up winning a championship or knocking the Celtics out of the playoffs, how are you going to feel about Brad Stevens?
I mean, if you're Brad, you can't have seen that coming. Like, LeBron signing for $4 million a year.
Well, you could avoid trading him to the East, just point blank, period. You know,
yes.
Bad stuff's going to happen when you trade him in the conference.
Now, yes? Brad, though, did say when he did that press conference at the end that there was no options in the West. And he was like, if there was, trust me, I would have rather have not traded
him. Well, that's not what the report was, that Minnesota considered it, right? But you wouldn't give him enough.
Okay, but, well, I mean, but reports were that they might have had deals with teams, but the JB shot him down.
Yep.
He said, no, he didn't want to go there. So, I mean, a lot of this is going to fall on Brad, but
yes.
Jaylen Brown made it harder to unload him because of him saying, you know, weighing in on the teams that they were looking at.
Well, why don't just wait until after LeBron's decision? I mean, I didn't think of that, but Brad Stevens should have thought of that, you know, that maybe LeBron's going to go build a super team with this guy somewhere.
Wow.
Now, first of all, I think it was Tatum-driven. That's what I believe. I don't have any evidence to support that, but I think Tatum wanted him out. So in that case, I take Brad off the hook a little bit, because I think his star player told him it was untenable and get the guy out.
You think it was almost all Tatum's?
You know, mostly Tatum, and everybody else sort of agreed.
Boy,
what
I just
evidence
think
it, you
I have
not.
I mean, other than he wouldn't go on the street. That's it.
The goodbye posts.
And the goodbye posts. Stiz was very convincing with his goodbye posts.
It was. But what's great about all this now is we're finding out that Jaylen Brown was one of the main recruiters of LeBron James. It was a trio of players. It was Maxey, Embiid, and Jaylen. And they specifically in the Shams article, they mentioned Jaylen Brown was aggressive in trying to get LeBron there. And
see, they're all getting along, and you're worried about the chemistry. Look at them.
Yeah, for now. We'll see.
It's like an Avengers.
Yeah, Ted's right. We'll see. But one thing about all this I will say about Jaylen Brown is I think the pressure's off Jaylen now. I think this is now LeBron's team. And if they fail, they're going to remember that LeBron went to go chase a ring here and it didn't work. They're not going to remember that Jaylen Brown ended up, you know, being a disappointment. He's no longer the star on this team. It's LeBron's team to fail.
I will push back on that. I think there is some pressure on Jaylen to fit in well, because if he's got a sort of a reputation as a troublemaker, right or wrong, or like drama guy. Mm-hmm. So if he creates problems and LeBron calls him out, all of LeBron's fans are going to turn on JB. Mm-hmm. So he's got to be careful with that.
And, I mean, I think there's more pressure than you think. I mean, who's making more money? I mean,
well, Jeff Goodman pointed out there are 20 college guys making more this year than LeBron. It's amazing.
All right, I mean, but just like in the pecking order of like who's more important, doesn't the paycheck tell you who's more? I don't know who's more important. Who's...
Usually, but it's LeBron James. I mean,
yeah. I mean, man. Well, is there a part of you that's wondering why you didn't choose the Celtics for $4 million? Like, is anybody?
He said he hates Boston. I mean, that report came out, right?
Did he say that?
Yeah, Rich ripped him too much for the last decade on Boston radio. He was like, these guys are nasty, you know?
Okay, here's another reason why I think this is going to fail. Joel Embiid, who, by the way, I like Joel Embiid. I think he's very funny. I think he's someone who gives great post-game press conferences. The dude peters out in the playoffs, obviously, except when he plays the Celtics. And this is an Instagram that he posted. It's just a video of him in what looked like his boxer shorts running around his apartment holding his phone, and listen to the sound that he makes.
Man, I'm glad you told us what he was doing before we heard that.
Ted's had some videos.
Man, dang. So he's very excited, needless to say. Is that what that's about? Yeah.
Can we hear that again one more time?
It's disturbing.
Yeah. Can't really hear the audio and derive that he's really excited, but if you see the video, he's got the big smile on his face.
Stiz, that's what Matt Damon was hearing on that boat on the Odyssey.
The sirens.
Real quick, let's go to Tim in Hanover. Tim, what's up, buddy? How's it going?
Oh, Tim.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I think Brown, he knew where he wanted to go, and he figured, hey, you know what? He knew there was a little turmoil with LeBron, and probably figured he could bring him in. And I'll tell you what, they got a great time. A great shot at going somewhere, Rich. Because I agree with the way you brought that stuff up, man. If they got the good big, which they do, they're dangerous, very dangerous.
They are. And nice. the only thing I'll push against that is that I do keep thinking of that. It's one of my favorite front pages of any paper ever is when the Red Sox got Adrian Gonzalez and Carl Crawford, and it said best team ever, and it ended up just like collapsing. It was like awful, but like I just have a feeling. And Ted, you talked about the Eagles, and I've talked about all these NBA teams. Sometimes on paper it looks like you are a can't lose team, but chemistry is so valuable, and you just don't know when you have that many alphas whether or not they're all going to be able to sacrifice, step back, and do what it takes to win. Because I don't know how many real team players are on this team yet. I don't. So we'll take a look, and we'll see. It's the most fascinating story of the NBA season, and the great thing is that the Celtics are such a major part of it. Because if the Celtics suck all of a sudden, the Sixers are great. The Celtics aren't going to suck. But, I mean, if...
Hey, guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.